Let us now open our Bibles and turn first of all to Deuteronomy, fifth book of Moses, Deuteronomy chapter 8, where we read in the verses 1 through 5. Deuteronomy 8, 1 through 5. Listen to the word of God. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and to test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. You should know in your heart that as a man chastises his son, so the Lord your God chastises you. And then please turn in the New Testament to Romans chapter 8, the letter of the Apostle Paul to the Romans. Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, 26 through 39. So Romans 8 at 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, those he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then the text for this evening sermon is the verses 28, 29, and 30, which we just read. We'll read them once again. So verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, there are things that we know and things that we don't know. In fact, there are many things that we don't know. Perhaps you are a boy or a girl here this evening, or a young person, and you do not know whether or not you will ever be married. You don't know that. Or perhaps you are a recently married young couple. You do not know if the Lord will give you children. Perhaps you have a serious illness or a debilitating disease, or you suffered a life-altering injury. You do not know whether or not the Lord will grant you healing, or whether He has assigned that disease or that illness or that injury to you for the rest of your life. These are things that here and there, if we go through the congregation, there are many brothers and sisters here who do not know some of these things. There are also things that none of us know. For instance, we do not know how the war in Ukraine, between Ukraine and Russia, Russia's invasion of Ukraine. We don't know how that is going to come to an end. We do not know, none of us know what the economy is going to do, whether we're going to go into a time of recession or perhaps depression, or whether there will be a recovery of our economy. One expert says one thing, another expert says the opposite. So many things that none of us know. But there are also things that we do know. Things that we know. And that's what I would want to speak to you about tonight. And there is one thing that the Christian can know. And that is that for those who love God, all things are going to work out for their good. God is creating a tapestry of the life of the Christian, weaving all the things that he or she encounters in this life, that the Lord sends him or her, weaving all these things into a beautiful tapestry. You can know that God works all things for your good. Do you know that? Do you know that? Can you know that? Well, allow me to ask you another question, actually a prior question, and that question is, do you love God? The Apostle Paul said in verse 28 that the promise that God will work everything for good is for those who love God. Do you sing Psalm 116, I love the Lord, the fount of life and grace? Moses and the Lord Jesus said that the first and the greatest commandment is that we should love the Lord God with heart, soul, mind, and strength. When you hear that, when you hear those words from Moses, from our Lord Jesus, does it resonate within you? Does it resonate within your heart? And are you given to respond, yes, I love the Lord? Do you love God? It's an important question. For the promise of Romans 8:28 is not for those who do not love God. So that, first of all, do you love God? If you do not love God, you must answer, no, I do not love God, then I must urge you to repent and to humble yourself before God and resolve to love Him. If you say, yes, I love God, then you will hasten to add, undoubtedly you will hasten to add, I love God because God first loved me. We all need to be quick to add that. If you love God, and you must, the Word of God calls you to love Him, to show that you love Him and how you live. If you love God, then you will know that it is first God who loved you. As John, 1 John 4:19 says, we love because He first loved us. Okay, a moment ago, we mentioned some things that we do not know. But what are the things that we do know? What do we know? What may we know? You may know that God is working all things for our good. Every Christian may know that. May know this. God is working all things for the good of those whom He loves and who love Him. Now, what is meant by all things? It's a very broad statement. It's actually a universal statement. All things working for good. So when we stop and think about it a moment, when we think about all things, the all things, then we can, first of all, we can divide the all things between pleasant things and unpleasant things. And then when we speak about unpleasant things, we can look around the immediate context of our text in that larger passage we read out of Romans 8, and we can read there as well about pleasant things. So let's think, first of all about the pleasant things. Paul mentioned several good things. The Lord Jesus Christ died for us, rose again for us, ascended into heaven for us, seated at the right hand of God, and prays for us. Paul mentions that in verse 34 of Romans chapter 8. And then in the verses 26 and 27, he mentions that the Holy Spirit prays for us. From within us, intercedes for us with groans too deep for words. So we have the Son in heaven, God the Son in heaven, seated at the right hand of God. And we have the Spirit within us, praying for us, interceding for us. And then Paul mentions in the verses 24 and 25 about the hope of glory. We have a wonderful hope of glory. Now these are all good things. There are also God's earthly good things that we may enjoy. Things such as marriage, if God provides that for you, children, grandchildren, friends, church communities, a job, good health, good food, hobbies, some leisure time. God is working all these things for our good. He's seeking our good by way of these things. He is blessing us through these things. Now, that's not so difficult to see. I think you will agree with me. It's not difficult to see how God is working for our good through all the things that He has, the pleasant things that He has brought into our life. But there are also unpleasant things. What about the unpleasant things? What about the difficult things? What about the disappointing and painful things? Are they too part of the all things? A universal statement working that God is working for our good? Think again about the immediate context of our text. Paul mentions the groanings of creation in verse 22. And then he mentions our own human groaning and suffering because of the upheaval of creation. And then in verse 17, he mentions also our suffering as Christians when we are persecuted for following the Lord Jesus Christ. Does that too belong to the all things working for our good? And there's a cascade of hard things that Paul mentions in the verses 35 through 39. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword. Is God working also through these things for our good? Is He also working for our good through the hard things that we experience? He must be, since, remember, it's a universal statement. All things, Paul mentioned. Scripture teaches that God uses the hard things of this life for our good. We read a passage out of Deuteronomy chapter 8. The Lord, through Moses, reminded the people of Israel, whom He was bringing into the promised land, of their 40 years in the wilderness. While they were in the wilderness, He chastised them with hunger, but then He fed them with manna. Manna, which no one had ever seen before. Manna, which fell from the air, and there it was every morning. And the Lord did this to teach them that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. God chastened them, brought hardship upon them for their good, to teach them to depend upon the Lord, the promises of God. But let's bring it a little closer. Closer to our day-to-day experience. What about the death of a loved one? A dearly loved spouse. A dearly loved child. Or a sibling. What about that debilitating disease? What about that life-altering injury? Are those two parts of the all things working for our good? They must be. Remember, it's a universal statement. All things. Sometimes you cannot see it for years to come, but you see it later on when you look back in your life and you say, that season of my life was very difficult, but I see now that the Lord was also working that for my good. Or perhaps you will never see it. No matter how much distance you take from it, you will never see it. And yet we may know on the strength of the Word of God that the Lord is also working these things for our good also through the hard providences. But now here's another question. What about our sin? Does the all things also include sin? Is God working for my good also through my sin? And we need to be very careful here. Sin grieves God. We got to say that first of all. Every sin you commit, I commit, is grievous to God. There is no way around that. We are not to sin. Of course, we know that. Remember what Paul wrote in Romans 6, 1 and 2. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may abound? By no means. We die to sin. How can we live in it any longer? So it is inappropriate for us to sin. It does not fit the life of a Christian. And yet we sin. Who dares to say that he is sinless? But listen, beloved, God in His goodness, in His sovereignty, in His providence, while on the one hand grieved by our sin, can on the other hand take the results and consequences of our sin and work them for our good. Do you know this? Is this also among the things that you know? Well, what else do we know? What else did the Apostle Paul know? Well, Paul knew that through the all things, pleasant, unpleasant results, even of sin, through all things he was being conformed to the image of his Savior Jesus Christ. Through all things we experience happy and sad. God is making us to look like Jesus. Often at the moment it's difficult to see. We're like a little child who is watching, say, his father carve a statue of a man out of a big block of marble. All the child sees and hears is his father striking a chisel with a hammer and pieces of marble flying in all directions. But slowly, a statue of a man slowly emerges. God is bringing something beautiful out of all your experiences, also the difficult experiences. He is making you look like Jesus. Christians may know this. We may even look forward to the day when God will have completed His work. Think of what Paul wrote in Philippians 1:23, languishing in prison, because of his faith and because of his testimony, he looked forward to when he would be with Christ. Better by far, he said, better by far when I am with Christ. Upon death, when our soul goes to be with Christ, we make another huge stride forward towards the final goal. Now, we do not long for death. As long as we are living, God gives us a purpose and a task. But when someone becomes very old, very weak and very frail, or if he's feeling completely down because of his illness or his disease, then at some point that person, that brother, that sister may look forward to the end, to being united with Christ in that better country. And do you know what the greatest thing will be? When we will have gone to be with Christ, we will not sin any longer. Can you imagine not sinning any longer? At the end of our lives, our bodies are laid in the ground, returned to the dust, dust to dust, ashes to ashes. But the day will come when our Lord Jesus Christ will return. On the clouds of heaven, will return to this earth, will stand upon this earth. And He will bring all of the souls of those who loved Him with Him. And He will raise the bodies of those who have perished. And He will knit carefully together soul and body once again. And we will dwell in perfection forever. Just think of what John wrote in his first letter, chapter 3. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when He appears, Christ appears, we shall be like Him. We shall be like Christ, because we shall see Him as He is. Just imagine being like Jesus. We may know that, we may look forward to it, And one day we will experience it. And in the meantime, we may live in the eager expectation of it. Can you say, beloved, can you say that this is something that you know? Well, what else can we know? What does Paul say? We can know that Jesus is the firstborn of many brethren. Many brothers and sisters. In Christ, God is gathering a huge family for Himself, a huge family here on the earth, out of all the nations, tribes, and languages of the world, a family so large that no one can number it. Do you belong to that family? Do you want to belong to that family? Do you want to be part of that family, the family of God, of which Jesus is its eldest brother? Why would you not? It is so great to belong to that family, to be helped by those to when you're suffering illness or difficulty, to be helped by others. It's a wonderful thing, but also to help others, also to, as God enables us to use our abilities to to aid others, others who are suffering, others who are suffering pain and difficulty. Just to be part of that family, the family of which Jesus is the eldest brother. That's a wonderful thing. It doesn't get better than that. Great to be part of a family. It's great to be part, greatest to be part of the family of God. Well, what else did Paul know? What else may we know? We may know that our salvation is rooted in the eternal decree of God. Eternity past, eternity future, eternity up, eternity down, eternity present. Our salvation is rooted in God's eternal decree. It is founded in the eternal good pleasure of God. Just briefly yet, beloved, there is that awesome verse 30, often called the golden chain of our salvation. Those whom God foreknew and loved from eternity, He also predestined to look like Jesus. And those He predestined to look like Jesus, He also called, He also justified, He also glorified. We know that our salvation began in the eternity of God. In God's eternal good pleasure, He chose us. In time, He called us. And in time, He worked faith in us, faith in our hearts, and He justified us. And we know that we will enjoy the eternal glory, God, that we will enjoy everlasting glory in the future. So certain is our future glory that Paul can put it in the past tense. You see that? We have been glorified. Paul says that. We have been glorified. Paul didn't say God will glorify us or we will be glorified. He will glorify those whom He predestined, called, and justified. No, he put it in the past tense. He has glorified them. We may enjoy it today already. We may live and die in this firm conviction. We can be confident in it, and we can be comforted by it. May it also be your conviction, brother, sister. May you also say, these are things I know. God is working all these things for my good. God is weaving a beautiful tapestry out of the hard things, the unpleasant things, and the pleasant things. all the things that we experience, God is weaving that into a beautiful tapestry, which He will complete on the last day. May you find comfort in these things that you know. May they strengthen and encourage you. Brother, sister, do you love God? Why would you not? Amen. Let us give thanks for the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, we come before you to thank you that you are weaving a beautiful tapestry of our lives. We thank you for the things that we may know, that we may know that you are working all things for our good. Lord, we experience difficulties, difficult things. We have done foolish things, the results of which, consequences of which, are part of our history, part of our lives. We experience many good things. Lord, you bring all sorts of things into our lives. And in this way, you are weaving something beautiful, beautiful beyond measure. You are carving and forming us to be an image of your Son, Jesus Christ, to look like Him. We pray that that glorious gospel may carry us in this coming week, that you will grant us everything that we need. Look upon us in your grace and hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen.